Okay. I would like to call to order the October, get my act together here, the October 2024 meeting of the River Grove Water District.
September.
And can all of you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, great. We have Russell Rees, and he is going to do the auditor's report. So, Russ, have at it.
Thank you very much, and I'll keep this nice and quick. Again, Russell Rees with Gerard Siebert Pollard, CPAs, pleased to present the results of River Grove Water District's audit for their fiscal year ended June 30, 2024. I'm going to start off by saying that River Grove Water is receiving an unmodified or clean opinion on both its financial statements and in regards to internal control and compliance matters for Oregon minimum standards. Towards the back of the report, the district is receiving an unmodified or clean opinion as well. So no issues detected during this year's audit engagement. I thought what I'd do is just cover the basic financials. I'm going to, I think for the financial statements, I know there were not any, there were no new footnote disclosures this last year. So the footnotes simply are just updating the footnotes for any current year financial information. So I thought what I'd do is just go through the basic financials in the front, cover the budget to actual under the supplementary information. And then open it up to any questions that anyone may have. So first, again, I'm just going to cover page 2, which is our independent auditor's report. Again, the first subsection deals with our opinions that we issue. We issue an opinion over the business type activities and of the district. So the second, drawing your attention to the second paragraph, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the respective cash basis financial position of the business type activities of River Grove Water as of June 30, 2024, and the respective changes in cash basis financial position for the year then ended in accordance with the cash basis of accounting as described in footnote A. So again, as in prior years, these financial statements are not prepared in accordance with GAAP. They are prepared under what's called a special, they are special purpose financial statements, which used to be called OCBOA statements, but so basically modified cash, cash basis, which are again are allowed to be used for smaller districts within the state of Oregon. And so consistent with prior years, the financials are prepared in accordance with the cash basis of accounting. I'm going to quickly flip over to page 4 and let you know that our report will be dated. It'll probably be dated today if the report is accepted. We will date our management rep letter as of today's date, and then the dates included in our independent auditor's report will mirror that date as well. So we'll have those dated. First, basic financial statement. It starts on page 7. It's the statement of net position, again, cash basis. Statement of net position is an assets minus any liabilities equals net position or equity. So starting at the top under assets, we had unrestricted cash of $2,034,176. We had restricted cash of $58,920. Total current assets at June 30 of $2,093,096. We have no liabilities to report because again, we're on the cash basis. So our net position equals our total assets of $2,093,096. Of that total, a portion of net position is restricted for system development. And then the balance is unrestricted net position. So again, $2,093,096. The second basic financial statement for business type activities is the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position on the cash basis. We start off with operating revenues, which includes water revenue, system development charges, and some miscellaneous revenues. So total operating revenues for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2024 totaled $1,154,251. Under operating expenses, we had personal services of $300,993 and materials and service expenses of $335,235, resulting in total operating expenses for the year of $636,228. When we apply our operating expenses against our operating revenues, it results in operating income of $518,023. Under non-operating revenues and expenses, we had capital outlay of $256,752, interest income of $89,552, and debt service payments of $186,433, resulting in total non-operating net expenses of $353,633. And when we apply those net non-operating expenses against our operating income, the result is net income for the year, $164,390. Pages 9 through 16 of the required footnote disclosures. Like I said before, I don't believe we have any new footnote disclosures. Simply going to point out some updates. So again, on the bottom of page 14, we have footnote E, which is the district's long-term debt schedule. This has been updated for principal payments made during the year. So the beginning of the year, the district had outstanding debt of about $3.3 million. Principal payments made for the year of $109,000, resulting in outstanding principal at June 30, 2024, of a little over $3.2 million. Of the $3.2 million, only $112,000 is due within the next fiscal year. Principal due within 1 year. On page 15, we've updated the amortization or the forward-looking principal and interest repayment schedules for both debt. So that has been updated. And on page 16, footnote H, that has been updated for the lease on the office space here. Oh, footnote I was going to point out too. So subsequent events we've included. So on June 5th, 2024, the district secured $2.8 million in financing from the Oregon Safe Drinking Water Revolving Fund to construct its upcoming resilient backbone and AC pipeline replacement project. Of that amount, $280,000 will be forgivable. Loan matures in 30 years and has an interest rate of 2.64%. So that was new this year. I apologize for that.
That's a big help.
Yes, absolutely. Now what I'm going to do is just go look at the budget to actual. And because I know that our minimum standard report noted, we did not have any issues noted in that. I know that we did not have any issues on over expenditures. So let's see. Looking at general fund, the district had budgeted a total revenues of just under $1.131. Actual revenues came in at just over $1 million, so a small unfavorable variance for total revenues. Total expenditures under the general fund, district budgeted $946,000 approximately. Actual expenses came in at $711,345. Again, a positive budget variance of $234,555. And fund balance at the end of the year, budgeted $400,000. Actual ending fund balance, $886,628. So again, a positive budget variance for fund balance at the end of the year of about $487,000 favorable. Page 20, Capital Improvements SDC Fund. Again, revenues came in well above budget. Expenditures, the district had budgeted $519,135. Actual expenditures only came in at only $368,000. So again, another positive budget variance under this fund of a little over $151,000. And in looking at the ending fund balance for this fund, district budgeted approximately $991,000 as the ending fund balance. Actual ending fund balance came in at a little over $1.1 million. So again, a positive budget variance for the capital improvement SDC fund of approximately $137,000. Two more funds, the truck and equipment fund. Again, interest income came in above budget. So again, a positive budget variance for revenue. No expenditures. Operating transfers in, actual equaled budget. So in looking at our ending fund balance, budget, $36,600. Actual ending fund balance for the truck and equipment fund came in at $38,451. Again, a positive budget variance for ending fund balance of $1,851. And then our final final fund, our unemployment fund, again, interest income came in above our budgeted $500 budgeted interest budget. So again, a positive budget variance for revenues in the fund. No expenditures budgeted or actual. Transfers in equaled budget. So again, in looking at the fund balance at the end of June 2024, district budgeted ending fund balance of $38,002. Actual ending fund balance came in at $40,595. So again, another positive budget variance in regards to ending fund balance of $2,395. Again, pages 23 and 24 is our second report that we issue in regards to Oregon minimum standards. Again, this is where we are required to take a look at some compliance issues due to the fact that the district is an Oregon municipality. So we're looking at the deposit of public funds. We're looking at any indebtedness limitations, restrictions, and repayment. We're looking at the adoption of budget legally required under ORS Chapter 294. We look to see that there's insurance and fidelity bonds in force. We're looking at the investing of any authorized surplus funds under ORS Chapter 294. And then we also look at public contracts and purchasing requirements under ORS Chapters 279, A, B, and C. So right under that listing, it states that in connection with our testing, nothing came to our attention that caused us to believe that River Grove Water District was not in substantial compliance with certain provisions of laws, regulations, contracts, and grants, including those related contained within ORS that relate to the minimum standards for audits of Oregon municipal corporations. The second part of the report deals with internal control, and if during the course of the audit we identified deficiencies in internal control that we felt rose to the level of either a significant deficiency or material weakness, the issues would be disclosed in this section of the report. And again, consistent with prior years, so if we look at top of page 24, the last sentence under paragraph 1, we did not identify any deficiencies in internal control over financial reporting that we consider to be material weaknesses as defined above. So again, like I stated earlier, clean or unmodified opinion on the Oregon Minimum Standards Report in regards to compliance and internal control. And again, a clean or unmodified opinion on the financial statements as a whole. At this point, I was going to open up to any questions that anyone may have. And then again, to thank Janine for the assistance in doing the audit this year. Records look fantastic. Reconciliations were timely and accurately performed. She was able to, normally during the course of our testing, we do some payroll testing and disbursement sample testing, and this may be the only client where year after year, when we do our sample of cash disbursements, that one of the tests is to vouch, make sure that there are supporting documentations that support the disbursements that are made for this disbursement sample. I think this is one of the only clients where year after year you find every single item that we sample. So that's fantastic. I wish more of our clients did that.
Makes your job easier, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So everything looked fantastic. So again, with the footnotes, I think the only addition was that subsequent event footnote this year in regards to securing the additional financing. But other than that, are there any specific questions that I can answer?
I have one. I was looking over some of the safety issues for the board, and I would like to see the board purchase two defibrillators. One would be in the field with our employees, mm-hmm. and one for the office because of the advantage of having on-site help, even though we have a very responsive fire department, they could be across town or on the freeway responding to another call. And this is an investment in people's recovery, and timing is critical.
Well, I've noticed a lot of commercial businesses that deal with, they don't necessarily deal with a lot of walk-in traffic, but they do deal with a lot of interaction with the general public. And even smaller organizations that I've noticed that are putting those up everywhere. So,
well, I'm looking at, there's an array of equipment out there, but things like physio control, you know, it doesn't even charge until it's in the right heart rhythm.
Right.
Because otherwise you can end up flatlining if you don't have that extremely important asset.
No, it makes sense to
me. To me, it's an investment in our employees.
Yep.
And, you know, I want them to have longevity.
Absolutely.
And a happy life.
That's a good idea. I think we might look into that, too, for our office.
So you think that there's, with looking at the finances, that we should be able to afford?
I would think so, yeah. And, it's almost like it's getting to the point where, you know, everybody has fire extinguishers everywhere now. It's just a matter of, over the course of time, not only are there going to be fire extinguishers available most everywhere, but the defibrillators as well.
My husband belongs to an aviation club, and they had a flyout, and one of the people flatlined. And there were six physicians there trying to help him, and they needed a defibrillator. And as a result of that incident, anytime the club goes out, the defibrillator goes with us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you don't get a second chance, is my point.
Absolutely. Nope, totally agree.
Russ, I did have a question on page 15. So in next year's audit report, can we expect to see the loan, if it's funded at such time, that we start making payments on it?
So if the loan is funded next year, we will include, not only will it be included in the outstanding beginning balance versus outstanding ending balance schedule, but then the principal, the required principal and interest payments on an annual basis would be included there as well. So absolutely.
Okay, great.
I had a question too. I noticed for budgeting purposes, for the last several years anyway, we just had some $500 of interest.
Oh, right.
And we're blowing way below that. We're over $1,800 this year. Should we update that?
Oh, as far as for budgeting?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I think LGIP rates are up to, 5.3 or 5.2? With the question I have, though, is now that the Fed is starting to looking at dropping rates, it's going to affect the rate that LGIP will recognize. So, I mean, you could, to me, it's not
out of whack.
Yeah. To me, it's not enough of a variance, because I'll tell you that
it's not a lot of money involved.
Right. All of our clients had underestimated the interest income that they were going to report.
Oh, okay.
So everyone's financials are showing these wild excess because of the fact that LGAP finally raised their interest rates. So in looking, in going forward, I mean, I guess you could, you know, if you were comfortable increasing it slightly, I would, yeah, there shouldn't be an issue with that.
As the budget officer for the district, I always do it cautiously.
Right.
And because you don't know what the interest rates are going to fluctuate. And if you get that bonus, it's nice. But what if you count on that money? And we always, in the past several years, we haven't recently, always would come just right within our budget. And so it's... I think it gives an unrealistic cushion there when it's not as solid. It's not a known that we're going to have that money.
Right.
And I'd rather be cautious than overestimate our income.
You know, now they're talking about multiple rate cuts next year.
Correct.
So it's, you know, if it was status quo right now, I'd say, yeah, you'd want to go ahead and raise the budget on interest income, but not knowing the Fed's timetable as far as starting to drop rates, which will directly affect the rates that LGIP will offer. Yeah, I guess my recommendation is just maintain the conservative approach. Because everybody's financials are going to look like, in regards to budget to actual and interest income, everybody's
okay.
This year is
just asking.
Yeah. Any other questions?
None for me. Okay. Really appreciate your time.
And then again, if it's approved tonight, we will date the rep letter. We'll send out the bound copies. I'll send everything over to Janine. And then the only thing different this year is we still prepared that one-page summary revenues and expenditures report, but the Oregon Audits Division now has you entering that information onto their website.
All right.
Yeah. So we'll still do the sheet that has all the information you need.
Okay.
And then if you have any issues as far as getting that transferred onto their
website,
mm-hmm. let us know. We can walk you through. But it's basically, you know, the name of the firm, my name, my license, muni license number, which is on the form, level of revenues for the year, level of expenditures. The fee then is derived based on your level of expenditures for the year. The audit opinion, so again, it's unmodified. And I think the only thing else they ask about is the basis of accounting. Oh, and then whether it was an audit or an... We don't have reviews anymore. We have audits and we have agreed upon procedures. So again, you guys went through the audit, and basis of accounting is cash basis. So.
Okay.
So everything will be on that one sheet.
Right.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you very much. And again, you guys were one of the first. I think you guys are number two. You guys were number two, I think, this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the earlier, we greatly appreciate the fact that we can come in early and get our work or the field work done early. So we greatly appreciate that.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Do you want popcorn for the road?
Oh, no.
All righty.
I'll be good.
Thank you.
I want popcorn for here.
Thank you.
Let me get something to drink.
Okay.
So, Chair Roth, there'll need to be a motion to accept the auditor's report.
Oh.
I move to accept the auditor's report as presented.
A second.
Okay, there's been a motion by Grant, a second by Sherry, that we approve the auditor's report. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? We accept the report. Now we're on to public comment. Is there anyone who wishes to comment?
I would like to propose that we purchase two defibrillators for our employees.
I think we need to put that on the agenda under new business, because I would like to talk to our attorney and our insurance agent about that in terms of any risk management issues for the district if we did have those on site, because that is an issue. I've been hearing more about people getting sued because they weren't used correctly.
Well, yeah, there's a training requirement.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Which I have had.
Yeah.
So why don't we, Chris, do you want Sherry to request that this be an agenda item, or are you good to take it from our discussion and run with it to agenda?
Point of order. This is not public comment. So first we need to close out public comment. Is there Chair Roth?
Okay, we'll close out public comment.
All right. So we can add that to the new business, Chair Roth, but yeah.
Okay.
But it's not on the agenda, and again, a point of order. If I knew in advance, I would gladly add that. It's not of an emergent nature, so I can add the defibrillator onto new business for the month of October and then get input from the board on what they want me to research so the board has that in October.
That sounds good. Let's see, we're on to review and approval of minutes, the August 26th regular board meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
Like these kind of minutes, one page.
Very nice.
It was a good meeting.
Okay, we had a motion by Larry to accept the minutes. And was there a second?
Yes, I seconded the motion.
Grant. Okay, Grant seconded it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
There are no nays, so we will approve those minutes. General Manager's report.
All right. Annual meter replacement program, we've completed it for this year. We also did an additional 111 meters have been replaced. So I wanted to let the board know that that's a 55% meter inventory in just over 5 years. As everyone knows, average replacement yearly is 5%. So I think the accolades for that definitely goes to the water operators. They've worked very hard to get all those meters. We're now starting our inventory on replacing meters that are 23 years old to 20 years old. And so if I had to guesstimate how many I would think of that, I would say probably we're in the ballpark of about another 150. Because now we're ahead in the meter inventory, we realized that the meters servicing the Condominium Association and the Jackson Square Apartment Complex are well over 31 years old.
Wow.
And they have to be replaced. So I'm in the process of getting prices on that. And it will probably cost somewhere about $9,000. I was thinking of doing AMR special type meters, but I don't think the budget would support that. So I would use the meter budget that we have, which is $5,000 a year over the next 2 years, to get those meters and replace those now as soon as possible, as soon as we can get them in. They're on back order. And get those meters replaced because, again, that meter, those meters are not accurate. There's definitely slippage going on, and I think those would be really good accounts to track to see what our water loss is or right. What the consumption is over the old meters to the new meters. So I'm looking over at the prices. I got quotes from three different companies. I was hoping to get a fourth one in. They haven't gotten back with us. I'll touch base with them sometime this week to get a good price and get meters ordered and get those scheduled to get replaced. So when we do that, that will be done before December of 24. As I said again, the meters that we're going back and we're reviewing for 20 years to 23 years, I would guess to be about 150 meters. There could be a little bit more. I can't speak to why meters weren't replaced. The district always had the 60 meter average to be replaced each year, and I'm not sure why we fell behind in that, but I think we're very comfortable, and as I said, we can take probably 2 years off and not replace meters and then absorb that a cost for the apartment complex and the condominium in those budget amounts. The reservation 1 and 2 restoration is completed. I did take pictures. I was going to send those out in an email and post them out on the website tomorrow. They did a very good job. It was a little bit longer than what we thought it was going to take because of the dew point. We decided to use Tanemic paint that we, the foliage green Tanemic brand that we used on Reservoir 3 when it had the seismic improvement and, remediation upgrade. So you have to have certain dew points before you can apply the paint, you know, because it would cancel out the warranty. So it's all done. They look really good. And I will send those pictures out to the board as well as post them on the website. We got about 5 customers within that area that lived there that actually called and said how, you know, what a nice job it was. And they appreciated of having them cleaned, primed, and painted. The annual backflow testing program. We're a little behind what we normally are with just less than a week now. were at 87% with those that had come in since I completed my general manager's report. And I'm a little bit surprised by that, but, you know, we'll keep reaching out and see what we can do to push our customers with the irrigation systems. What we're finding out, though, customers that are falling behind and having their annual testing, they want to abandon their systems. Well, you just can't abandon the system, shut it off. It has to be properly abandoned. So we did a lot of research on that, and we found only one other water district in the 12 districts that we normally reach out to and network with that had even any type of procedures for it. So we developed the procedures, came up with the backflow assembly report, called Clackamas County, Lake Oswego, networked with the plumbing inspectors. So a permit is required to abandon your backflow. So if you look at your board package, the diagram that we did, it's very simple now. I think it really will help our customers that want to do that and they want to, you know, take that. It's $150 for the permit. Some customers may not want to abandon after all and just have their irrigation systems tested annually. This is posted out on the website as well, as well as with the inspection removal form. And that needs to be kept on record too, because in the past, we saw where people said they abandoned their system and just shut it off and removed a cap. And then to get by the requirement of having an annual test and then re-engage their irrigation system. These are the proper ways to abandon an irrigation system. And we are providing a diagram along with the form when we have customers call in wanting to abandon it. And then we go out and we're doing an inspection.
So that's on the website then?
Mm-hmm. And if you go into the website, and it's going to be in the December paper newsletter too, you'd go under resources, under customer or developer, and now we have the section under cross control, and these have been added. Once we created these, I reached out to other general managers and said, you know, here, no sense reinventing the wheel. We developed this, you know, use it as you can. And we had five other districts very grateful responded and are putting those out on their website as well. So it feels good to help other districts because certainly, you know, we've reached out and districts always are good about sharing with us. So I think that will help our customers as well. Customer assistance requests, we had 41. Most of those were backflows saying they wanted to abandon, et cetera. We had no emergency call-outs the past 30 days. Shutoff notices were delivered on the 11th of September. Shutoffs are scheduled for the same day. Shutoffs are scheduled for the backflows. And we haven't had a good response on our delinquent account holders, but they have another 4 days to get, they have another 5 days to get their accounts paid. Hopefully we'll only have a few left on the list so we can concentrate on the backflow shutoffs. And I'm sure that there's going to be some feedback on that. But I think that we've worked very hard with about 100 accounts that were still on. 30 of them complied. And I give an example. We had one customer that wanted to abandon his system. And so we went out there. I personally went out there in July, looked at it. It wasn't properly abandoned. Talked through the ring because they didn't want to come to the door. Explained how to abandon the system. We went out a few days later because they said they worked on it. It wasn't abandoned at all. So we actually did a letter and had given them a date to abandon. They called. They wanted us to come out and look last Friday. We put that on our schedule, went out and looked Friday, and not anything had been done. So I immediately followed that up with a letter that they've had more than plenty of opportunity to abandon the system or either to get their system inspected. And I did let them know there would not be any further extensions, and the system either needed to be tested or abandoned and inspected with a permit before October 1st. So I think that put some initiative, and I was contacted by a plumber that was out there and was going to properly abandon the system. So when I referred him to our website, because he wasn't really sure either how to properly abandon it, he was very grateful for that. But it's far and few people that we haven't given 3 and 4 opportunities for now to have those tests done. So unless there's a hardship, we intend to shut off water systems on the 1st of October. For the shutoff notices, we called around to districts as well on that, and we came up with a new tag that's going to streamline the process. As you know, there's been in the past a few customers that did not like the letter that was used. So we got, I think, 3 tickets from other water districts. We just kind of tailored ours. And so this was our first test and quote-unquote test period of it. We didn't receive any negative phone calls for, you know, it being degrading or being, you know, mean or anything like that. So I think it's a win for the district. And this is what we're going to use moving forward for future shutoffs. We'll certainly take any customer comments, considerations, if there's a way to improve it. But I think we've finally, I think, found our little golden point of how to properly notify customers. And it's also a lot less work. It took us about 60% less time to do the shutoff tags because we're not doing letters with envelopes, etc. So we'll see how, you know, that is moving forward. Employee training, we, of course, did our monthly safety training. One thing I did, I took a risk-based security critical control seminar because water districts, again, insurance companies keep notifying us we're a high target, especially smaller districts, because they know smaller districts don't have the funding to do security systems, you know, like, you know, Barracuda, et cetera. Their PCI systems are vulnerable. So I just wanted to attend that seminar to see, to test our vulnerability. And I still think that we're, you know, head and shoulders above many other districts. And again, we just stay alert. We all do our phishing training each month, and we'll just continue to stay, you know, alert to any unusual emails that came in. We had one that came in and immediately reported it to Pacific Office Automation, and they were able to identify and, you know, delete it so our system wasn't compromised. The Marlin Water Court main replacement project is completed. I briefed the board on that last month. The project cost, after reviewing all the invoices and paying, the project was originally going to be $311,890. It came in at $279,575. So the cost breakdown, it was $186,383 to the district. I did brief the board that there was OSHA violations, and I was contacted by OSHA that I don't have anything in writing. And so there is a OSHA violation that's being assessed against the district because of the contractor. And it is a low death threat. So the fine for that is in the neighborhood of $11,800. But because I was honest with the OSHA inspector when he came on site, he dropped that down to about a $2,700 fine. So that will be coming in the next 30 days. The district can appeal that. And when he called me, he said, you know, that was at his discretion to do that, to lower it. And he felt, you know, it was a rare case where he has any companies, contractors, et cetera, actually admit to doing something. And I readily admitted that. I did not deny anything. And part of, you know, and there's no justification, is when we hire our contractors to go out there and they do the job, it's in our plans and it's in our contract with them that they are responsible for, you know, depths, they're responsible for shoring, they're responsible for all of the construction. Jason and I did complete OSHA 10, which is a pretty involved training course. We did that after the fact. So I think going into this project for the Childs Road, the Resilient Backbone Project, we're going to be a lot more prepared in identifying what contractors did And what they're responsible for doing. We even, you know, are trained now on testing soil, et cetera, for shoring. And again, as I explained to the board, when I went into that hole, I could not ascertain the depth of that until I got in it. And when I was in it, I realized that it was deeper than 5 feet. And I did the hookup and immediately got in. It doesn't matter if I was in there 3 minutes or I was in there 10 minutes or I was in there 2 hours. I was in there, and that's what the fine is being assessed. And I admitted I was in there. I explained everything why. So that's why he's giving a courtesy to the district.
This is Marlin Court.
Mm-hmm. And and giving a 75% break on that. I actually, once I get it in writing, I haven't received it yet. He called me 2 weeks ago. I expected it to be in sometime this week and it or last week, and it wasn't. I'm going to reach out to the contractor and see if I can't negotiate him paying that fine. I don't think I'm going to get very far since that contractor was not on the project, but I'm certainly going to reach out to the developer as well. But I want to be above board with the board that...
Maybe even a cost splitting or something.
Exactly. Okay. Because, again, it is what it is. And we filed, on behalf of the district, I filed an OSHA complaint against the contractor. And when he was telling me about the complaint on the district, he said that the complaint the district filed on the contractor, I would be getting that back as well. So I don't know what the status is or what the resolution was for the complaint that I had. And again, you know, the actions that I took, I'm responsible for my actions. No one else is. I didn't let any of our employees go down there. And again, as soon as I realized the depth of that, I was out immediately. But it doesn't matter because I was in there and I admitted I was in there. So I don't know if the... You know, if I can work something out with the developer, and I'll put that as an agenda item next month, since we don't have the package yet. The supervisory control and data acquisition, we have reached out to more contractors. I have a list here. So we didn't hear back from the initial two that we had reached out to. So there's 9 other contractors on here. I've given them until the 31st of October. If they want to bid, someone's already reached back to me on the list and doesn't want to. And how we developed our list is we called again out to other districts. We called out to other cities, even within Oregon. We threw our net a little bit wider. Does anybody have recommendations for SCADA contractors? So I think we've got some really good ones. I've actually talked to all of them. Jason did an initial interview, and he did a wonderful job on that while I was out with COVID. And so we've narrowed it down. So these are the 9. Again, bids are due by October 31st. And I do want to say that I did not realize this when I went back with Control Systems. Their bid, which the board was aware of months ago, of $398,949, is a maximum bid, not to exceed. So if Control System Northwest does it for $350,000, then they do it for $350,000. If it comes in at $410,000, say that they were the winning bid, their maximum couldn't exceed that $398,949. So I've got a spreadsheet. I'm tracking everything. And we'll keep the board apprised. But I won't have anything for the October meeting, I don't believe, because of me allowing them October 31st as their deadline to get their bids in. All the loan paperwork, everything that Business Oregon has asked for, legal opinion letter, that took the longest, has been done. They were all sent out Friday, close of business. They've been reviewed, and I have not heard back that there were any errors or any adjustments that needed to be made on anything. So we will start now with our phase of doing the surveys and the exploration evaluations. Again, that all got behind on the Marlin Court project, but we're not going to lose any time. We can get that completed and stay within our time frame for the project. The balance sheets, the finances, pretty self-explanatory. Were there any questions for me on this?
Nope, looks straightforward.
All right. There's no questions for me, then this concludes the general manager's report.
I do have one question for you.
Yes.
For the SCADA, the bid that Control Systems Northwest had submitted, what's the expiration date on that?
There is none.
They submitted a bid with no expiration date?
Right, because they want our contract, huh?
That's surprising.
Just talked with them again today to confirm it.
Hmm.
Rather unusual.
They stand by their bid?
Typically, it's 30 days.
Yeah,
right. They stand by their bid, and again, they re-emphasize to me to let the board know that that's a maximum not to exceed, and they stand by it.
Okay. Well, it may end up going that way, but we'll know.
It'll be interesting because I think they were very gracious as well because they gave me the name of another contractor, and I reached out to them out of Estacada. Am I saying that right, Estacada?
Mm-hmm.
And they're very excited about it, and they're going to do a bid, and he said, we absolutely, and they tailored towards small water districts. Some of these others I reached out, they all have the same scope of work. They have the same schematics, everything that was, prepared. So everybody's bidding apples to apples, but one already told me that they're a little bit too big and they don't come down here. They're out of Washington. But I said, at least put it in writing. So I have proof, and I did everything by tracking so we can prove everybody got the bid and put it in writing back to me. I understand you're not interested, so we can keep good records on that because of the cost of the project. Any other questions? Okay. That's it.
All right. That concludes then unfinished business.
I have a question.
New business.
Chris?
Yeah.
This is Larry. I request that going forward, beginning with this meeting, that we add under unfinished business an item related to the motion that was approved at the last meeting about. I can talk to Jean about choosing the right words. I think we need to have a monthly update on what's going on with this legislative outreach that I'll be leading, and that's just for two reasons. One, keep fellow board members up to date on what's going on, but also keep it on our consciousness that we have a serious problem and we all need to be aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to go away until we pull a bunch of old pipe out of the ground.
So instead of calling it unfinished business, should we maybe create a new item on the agenda called committee reports or something like that?
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to...
Because it's an ongoing thing. It's not unfinished.
Right.
It's just...
Right.
Yeah. So I would suggest maybe committee reports or director reports. Yeah, I'm on another board where we have director reports. So
okay.
Every of the directors can report anything going on. Or...
Good.
And I'm sorry, I did not hear that that was supposed to be added to the budget.
No,
we
didn't.
We didn't.
Oh.
We didn't do that.
Decided last
meeting, I was so excited that everybody agreed with me to do it that I was thought, oh, we're all done here. Then I realized, wait a minute. And in that light, I'll just report, I did have a meeting a week ago today with Kyle in their brand new office. They were still unpacking in their new office, which is very nice. They just moved a few blocks away over by the Oswego Grill building, number 2 Center Point, I think they are. And he likes what we're trying to do, and he's optimistic that we might succeed. And... I'm just saying legislative outreach. I'm doing both the state of Oregon and our federal representatives, the two of them. And there won't be a lot of activity until after the election, obviously. But we are proceeding to prepare a brochure describing our dire situation in dire words that cannot be ignored. And you all will get a chance to see a draft before it goes final.
No. So... On that, Chair Roth, I would it would help me as the budget officer in running the budget. Is there going to be like a limit on that? Because our budget is very tight this year. So I can add that to the agenda for next month. Is there going to be some type of a cap on like how much is going to go toward this endeavor? We just don't have a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah, there should probably be some sort of cap. Larry, what do you think is reasonable?
Well, why don't we put it on the agenda and discuss it for next meeting?
I can put that on for, and I'll put that on, and that's a wonderful suggestion. I'll create a category for committee reports.
I will point out that sometime after the first of the year, if this thing gains some traction, I will probably have to go to Washington, but that's not all that expensive. I don't have a billing rate on this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, nothing else under your project? Okay, we've got new business, steps for applying and installation of new upgraded water service. And that is the developer form.
Correct.
Have all of you had a chance to look at that?
Yes.
So the ordinance, when we redid the ordinance 2023-01, I had put in there, about it being, recommend that the board will decide about, the steps for applying and the installation. And so what we're finding, and I can think of two projects right now off the top of my head, where the developer tore down a house and is rebuilding a house. And so the way that it was drafted before, they were not required to come in for a pre-application meeting. They don't want to pay that $500. And so I am spending an exorbitant amount of time on these two projects. And I would not be exaggerating if I say probably at least 30 on one and probably 40 on another. And it needs to be mandatory that if it's a tear down, an existing single service, and it's being rebuilt, it has to be mandatory. People aren't going out. The pre-application meeting and the steps for applying. They're trying to save $500, which is fine because we're letting them, say that it's at their discretion, and they're wasting time and resources. And it's actually my time and resources for the district. And it's questions after questions. And we have a really good, on our website, developer resources. And we actually have gotten a lot of compliments from developers saying, your website's so easy to follow, everything's out there. And for some reason, we just have two common developers that keep developing within our district that refuse to go out there and want to be held through the process. And I just don't have the time to do that. We're just too small of a district. So it would streamline it. It would actually, I think, work to their benefit because then they're not going to, have all of these surprises. We have one developer that put an adapter on the line. Adapters aren't required. Go out and read the construction standards, clear as day, that an adapter's, we don't allow that. And so it doesn't have to be by resolution because it's already covered in the ordinance. We're changing the form and just changing the parameters of who we're making it mandatory to come in and have a pre-application conference. So I had modified the form to take out, to add any new existing single service that's been totally torn down to have them come in for a pre-app. And then the approved building plans get a lot of a lot of resistance on providing the plans. They want us to go out and go to Acela and get the plans and download them and print them, et cetera. That's an expense for us. And we just don't have that in our budget to do that. So it should be like anybody, any other district, any other developer, they need to bring their approved set of building plans to the table when they come in for the meeting. And
you'll determine if a plan check is required.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Looks good to me.
So, and actually it was your idea when you said the developer should be paying for all this. The district shouldn't.
Historically, the developers are always looking for these angles. I remember one house being torn down in the neighborhood and they left one wall up so they could call it a remodel instead of a tear down and build a new one, So they play these games all the time.
Yes. You can thank the planning commission of Lake Oswego for that. Yeah.
But one good thing, I do have access now to Acela, both at Lake Oswego and Clackamas County. So it is a lot easier for me to get out, to get on there. And Lake Oswego actually gave me editing approval. Plaquemines, I'm still schmoozing. I at least have review approval, and then I get to put them in the comments. So that's at least progress. So I'm not going to complain about that. But yeah, it would help if I didn't have to pull the plans, print the plans and all of that, that that's all a condition of, you know, when the developer comes in and they pay for that.
Janine, question for you. You're asking for a $2,050 deposit.
That's only if Kyle has to do the development review.
How come that's kind of an odd amount, $2,050? Why not just $2,000? Just
because we base it off of SDC and what other charges are being assessed. It's actually gone up. It used to be $1,050. And when I network with the districts, I talk with other managers at the breakfast. I kind of network to see where everybody else mm-hmm. has. I think $2,050 is a very fair amount.
No, it's just kind of odd that $2,050.
Well, you look, they're also going to do a processing fee. So normally, and Kyle only has to do, RH2R engineer only has to do it when it's a whole new development. So it's an easy $2,100 check.
Okay. I looked at it, but
try to have integrity in it. And because like I can tell you what it costs to put a linear foot of water main in. I try to have integrity and not try to overcharge or the developers, try to have a really good relationship and be fair with them. We also had a developer that's doing two houses right now, and he did his pre-application meeting for the one development and then snuck in questions for his second one. So when we got off the phone, I touched base with him and very professionally said, you know, I'll be expecting your check for the pre-application for your second development.
Oh, and sorry.
No, he did. He sent it.
Okay.
So this will just make my job a lot easier, and it'll be beneficial to the district because it'll save us money and not printing plans. Those are expensive when you're printing them. So it just basically just needs a motion to approve. It doesn't need a resolution.
I'll move we approve
this. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll move that we approve this form as drafted.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
There was a second, Chris.
There was. Okay. That didn't come through on my phone. Sorry. So if there is a motion and a second, any further discussion?
Yeah, because I had one question on the step two, the pre-application conference fee of $500. That's a new fee we're assessing customers, correct? We didn't previously charge for a pre-application conference.
We always did. Mm-hmm.
We did? Okay.
Yeah, it's not in red, so it's not a change.
Yeah, it's not a change. We're just requiring it now for single service that was torn down. We always requested it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's just changing, Commissioner, who's going to pay now. It's not just going to be, a new development. It's going to be when they tear down. That's what I was trying to get at. They're tearing down but don't want to have the conference but want to manipulate our time and have me go out there for all of this stuff. And, again, I'm not exaggerating. It has become ridiculous.
Okay. I was just comparing it to the old development review inspection and acceptance permit. And it talks about the two fees that are mentioned above in step one, but then there's no subsequent mention of fees. So I was just curious. Thank you, Janine. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the clarification.
Okay, is there anything else under new business?
Chris, Larry, I have a question for Janine back under her general manager's report. The dates for the Brazilian Backbone project, they have to be updated. This I haven't seen any geotechnical exploration work going out there, and that's supposed to be finished in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So can these dates be updated?
Mm-hmm.
You're what, about two months off, I'm guessing?
No, I don't think we're 2 months off. As I said earlier, I think everything is going to be done by, you know, the end of December. I already talked to RH2 about you shaving, the board had shaved 30 days off the
for final design.
Yeah, the final design. So I've never, yeah, nor RH2. We've never brought in anything in late. I think we can work well with the dates, but yes, I'll get them updated on the next report.
I just know things are happening when I see the drill rig out there doing the geotechnical borings.
Understood. Did everybody vote on the on that? There was a motion, Chair Roth, from Commissioner Johnson, seconded by Commissioner Patterson.
We had discussion. Did she call for the vote?
So, Chair Roth, you'll need to call for the vote.
Okay. Yeah. I'm cutting out, I think.
We can hear you.
Oh, it's just your phone and not you. Uh-oh.
So, do we need to vote on that?
Yeah, so Chris, can you call for the vote?
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 There are no nays, so that passes.
Okay.
One thing before we adjourn. Janine has signed up for a class in, now I've forgotten what you said it was.
Oh, cross-connection, state certification.
Yeah. And that will fall during our meeting will fall during one of the days that she is there.
November 18th.
And at the end of this session, there will be a test, so she doesn't want to miss any of that time.
Okay.
What do you all think about the idea of moving canceling our November meeting and then moving that into December?
I mean, usually we want to have a meeting in November to review the financials, but next week is Thanksgiving, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not, it's not all going to be ready by then. Yeah, because when is Thanksgiving this year?
24th.
The 24th. So the 25th is when it's observed as the holiday, right? It's usually the day after the
right.
On a weekend.
Right.
I wouldn't be opposed to moving the meeting later in the week. I mean, unless folks have Thanksgiving plans, they're going to take them out of town and they won't return. There's no reason why we couldn't do a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
I'd have to be Tuesday. I have a family coming in on Wednesday.
Thanksgiving falls on the 28th this year, and our meeting is scheduled for November
18th.
Okay.
We always have it the third week in November.
So the conflict is your course.
Yeah, my course is the 18th through the 21st, and then I have to be down to test in person for state certification on the 22nd.
I mean, do we have any objections to holding the meeting on the fourth Monday, the 25th?
Looks good for me.
That'd be the Monday before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That would work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just do that.
Anybody else feel strongly one way or the other?
I would be in support of having the meeting on the 25th.
Yeah, I would
agree. On the 25th.
So with that being said, Chair Roth, my class, and that's fine, I'll do the meeting on the 25th. So board packages will not be ready till probably that Saturday, because my class is from 8 to 5. And then I'm going to study after my class. I'm not going to come back in and do board packages or anything. I really want to get this state certification. It's something the district needs.
I can live with that.
That's fine. Yeah, we'll have.
Okay.
We'll be able to review it all day on Monday if you're going to count business days.
I'll grumble, but I'll go along with it.
Okay, thank you. Well, you're going to appreciate if I'm certified.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other issues, questions, comments?
So what is the date then?
Monday the 25th, same time. Thank you all very much.
I printed that one.
Oh, there. Okay. I got two pages.
Okay. All right. If there is nothing else to deal with, then we will adjourn at, looking at my watch here.
5:30.
At 5:35.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Great.
Yep.